Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun in the week of sports. My name is James Johnson and I'm here with
Edward Dickey.
Edward.
How are we doing?
We are in the offseason. We're in the
Offseason
NFL,
for football.
NFL
yeah.
offseason, I should say. And but for me, that's the sports offseason in the deepest part
well,
of
and
my
like,
heart.
You know, I mean, I think after football, you're probably a baseball fan next.
I am, and that hasn't started yet.
I mean we're in spring training.
You got some Cactus League stuff going on and whatnot.
Some grapefruit from Cactus.
Yeah, I saw the Cubs won 8-0 against the Padres the other day, and that doesn't mean anything. So.
Marcelo Zuna's playing first, which is absolute comedy.
Hey, did you see? I saw a list. This is not part of our conversation today. I'm just springing this on you.
It just
popped in my head. But I saw that a list came out of the most electric players in Major League Baseball, and Acuna was number one.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
He's got kind of the Ken Griffey Jr. thing going on right now.
I think the Braves had four of the top 17. Like Strider was on there. Matt Olson was on there. And another player that's probably good on your team.
Michael Harris, probably.
Maybe. Yeah.
Those are all fun guys to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Austin Riley.
But for the most part, it's the off season because it's not football.
This is like, you know, there's a couple dead periods of sports, and this is one of them.
It is.
Where the only like sport you have is just like just after All-Star NBA.
Right. You kind of have to like
NBA, sorry.
You maybe have to go out and find your own sports to play.
Yeah, or, you know, like focus on other aspects of your life, which like who does that?
I will say though, I am enjoying the weather getting warmer.
That is nice.
Which is not anything about sports, but it's still nice. That's kind of a big
thing. I mean, it's going to rain all week though.
Let's talk about NFL offseason though. So
No, let's just sit here and talk about the weather.
Let's talk about the weather. It's like NPR. And the weather today will be 70 degrees.
Everyone's asleep.
So, the Falcons have, I think, one of the biggest off seasons coming up in the history of the franchise. And because of this, you guys have a legit new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who everyone's saying can coach, will coach, is the coach, probably should have been the coach before.
Yeah.
And you have all the talent that you need to win your division and win a playoff game. Maybe, and if you can win one, you can win four, and then
but
there you go.
If we can win one, I'll be happy.
So the issue for the Falcons right now is who's going to play left tackle. No, wait, hold on. I read that wrong. The issue is who's going to play quarterback.
That was funny.
I like that you pointed out that it was funny because that makes it even more funny.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like I didn't like laugh out loud at it, but I wanted you to know that it made me chuckle.
That's what
on
we
inside.
Do here on Big Sad Fun is we go inside the show.
Like, yeah, exactly.
We let people know what's going on in our heads at all times.
That's a scary place to be in our heads.
What are you guys going to do at quarterback?
Well, and so, I mean, I think there's a number of options.
Let's lay out the top three.
Well, like you can either keep with what you got.
Okay. Is that really an option?
But like I'm laying them all out broadly.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Which that's not really an option. Go ahead and throw that in the trash, burn
all
it.
Right. There's no world where Desmond Ridder is the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons day one.
God, that would be so disappointing. Never say never.
That would be so disappointing though, wouldn't it?
I don't know if I could like I can always psych myself up for football. That'd be hard. That'd be hard.
Do you think he's a backup option though, right?
You're
not gonna just cut.
He's on a rookie deal.
You're not gonna cut bait. Yeah.
So that's
realistic options that make you guys a contender.
Trade for a guy.
Probably Justin Fields.
Yeah. A free agent. Which that's you're
Kirk
looking
Cousins,
at. Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
That's kind of those
Dak
are,
Prescott if he gets cut.
You want Trey Lance? or draft a guy.
Yeah.
And
those are your three options.
And now like there's other stuff you can do in the draft because I don't know I don't think if we're gonna draft a
You got
a
the
franchise,
eighth pick in the draft.
I don't think you can get a franchise guy at eight.
You can probably get Bo Nix.
Yeah.
So and that's
do you want Bo Nix?
Well
and obviously but
do I personally want him?
Would you want him on the Cowboys?
If it meant that I didn't have to pay Dak Prescott $60 million, then yes. But that's aside. We'll talk about that in a second. Let me lay this out for you. So the options seem to be basically two options. You have the option to draft your quarterback, which means probably moving up in the draft.
Yeah.
Or get a free agent as a bridge player, someone like Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I think either one of those would be fantastic here. Let me throw a third option, a little bit of both.
If Dak Prescott's involved.
No. I've been trying to dump Dak Prescott on the Falcons for years now. Here's what about this mix? You take Bo Nix, number 8. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you trade down and take him. Like, you take him later on in the first round because yeah, I think he'll still be around. And then you do Kirk Cousins. And you do Kirk Cousins and Bo Nix. You let Bo Nix sit for a couple of years. Kirk Cousins takes you to a Super Bowl.
And
Bo learns.
I think I would love Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know if he's leaving.
He's a free agent. Who knows what he's doing?
Yeah, but
he's going to go where the money is.
I mean,
he's got like 17 children to feed or something like that, doesn't he?
He's got a couple.
Maybe you're
thinking of Philip Rivers. he's got some kids, but like I think Kirk Cousins is one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in football.
Can I tell you a stat about Kirk Cousins that
please do.
A lot of people don't know, and it's one of my favorite stats. He's the only quarterback in the history of the NFL to take a team to the playoffs with a bottom three defense.
Jeez.
So just think about that. Think about how good you have to be.
He is
good.
He's very good. I've compared him, like, in my head to Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Like, as in
yes.
two guys who, like, had very efficient games and had not great defenses most of their career.
They're both, like, Peyton Manning light in my mind. They're both, like...
Like pocket passers.
Yes, pocket passers. They know the game. They have a high IQ.
Their footwork's good, and if you can run the right route,
if you got people out there, they will play. If you can protect them.
If you can keep them standing up, yes.
Yeah.
But, so I'd be all over Kirk Cousins.
What about Russell Wilson?
I'm less all over that.
So, are we of the opinion that he's washed? He's done?
I think...
The wheels have come off. He's no longer any good?
Now, he had a better year this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he had a better coach and, like, some better kind of talent around him. And, you know, he was kind of forced to, but, like...
He didn't have his team with him, so maybe he wasn't
distracted. But, like, you know, he's not... He hasn't come off... Like, his entire time in Denver hadn't been good.
So, this is
like
what...
The behind-the-scenes stuff...
I
think, hurt his draft stock. And I don't know if he's... Like, scramblers age worse than pocket passers, you know?
Yeah, obviously.
Because,
your
speed's going to go before your arm does.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's...
So, if that's what you're built on...
Do you really want a... Over 35 Russell Wilson.
Oh, wow. Is he that old?
I was just guessing. I was going to ask you to look it up.
Man,
but
I'll look it up while you keep talking.
I mean, and like...
That's what we do here on Big Sad Fun. Real live stats analysis.
But it's just, it's like, I don't know if that's going to actually really move the needle. Because the other thing that it's very clear that...
he is 35.
35 nailed it.
1988. Wow. 35.
Yeah, That and I realize Kirk Cousins is old too, but like,
and he's 5'11".
But Kirk Cousins is got the pocket passer,
right? And he's probably 6'4".
And I think the other thing though that Arthur Blank really wants is someone who's going to move the needle for the fans, because he wants butts and seats. And I don't know if corny Russell Wilson does that. You know,
Kirk Cousins is also 35.
Oh, but who's kind of performing better?
I'm just saying, these guys were born in the same year, 1988.
That's pretty wild.
That makes me kind of sad because I'm 8 years older than these guys.
But just imagine if you devoted yourself.
That's neither here nor there. So
and I mean, I think Kirk doesn't necessarily move the needle as like probably won't. We won't get a lot of fans in there because we have Kirk Cousins. He's not that kind of guy, though.
But here's the thing. I think you will. Kirk Cousins is...
I think you will once he starts playing.
Kirk Cousins has got one of those great stories because you remember the year he was drafted, he was drafted by the Washington Redskins, may they rest in peace, the same year that they drafted Robert Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Number one overall, number two overall.
Yeah.
Right? And they made this huge trade to move up to get Griffin, mm-hmm. to get RG3. And then they took Kirk Cousins in the fourth round and people were like, what's that about?
Yeah.
And it turns out Kirk has turned out to be the more...
And, I mean, and I still think... RG3 could have been great. I think the scars on his knee are more what derailed his career.
I saw him down at the pub the other day. He's doing fine. All right,
he's a great commentator.
Yeah, he is. But I think Kirk Cousins, here's the thing, though. Like you just said, like when he starts playing, when Kirk shows up and he's an actual quarterback
mm-hmm.
that can throw the ball to Drake London, to Kirk, to Kyle Pitts, to, you know, Bijan outside the, out of the, you know, running the wheel route or whatever. Like, he is going, he would, he would upgrade your offense.
Oh, 100%.
Like, there's not, it would be a whole new world.
Yeah.
It would be like they sang in the Disney movie Aladdin, a whole new world. It would be Jasmine and Aladdin on a magic carpet ride, and that's what you guys would be on. You would be on a magic carpet ride.
As soon as you said a whole new world, I was like, he's going to end up singing.
I can.
I knew it.
We like to sing on this podcast.
You like to sing on this podcast. And I mean, either one of those would be fine. All I need is just not someone named Desmond Ritter or Tyler Heinicke.
So that's what I'm saying here is you go get that guy in free agency here in a week or so. Like it's coming up a week or two. And then you can afford to move down and pick up someone like Bo Nix to develop.
So can I throw some at you?
Yeah, please.
Because I mean, I think the free agency guys, those are, you know, that's a thing. But now let's get in fairy tale land. Give me Justin Fields. We trade for Justin Fields, you know, for whatever they want for him.
This is the second option. This is a different option.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we, at 8, we get a pass rusher. And then we also pick up Chris Jones as a pass
rusher.
Atlanta
doesn't do draft. They don't do pass rushing.
We try.
No, you never have.
We're not good at it.
So let me tell you a little anecdote on that note. So there is a radio station here in Atlanta. I think it was 92.9. It might have been 93.7. I can't remember. But they were doing they do this thing where they do a 10-year rewind. Like, what were we talking about 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was like last year. And literally, so they just play a clip from their show 10 years ago to the day. And so this was probably back in September or October. They're like, all right, let's rewind. This is what we were talking about literally 10 years ago to the moment. And it was like somebody was in there. What Atlanta needs is a pass rush. If we could just get a pass rush.
It's so maddening to watch. Like, but that's why
you never had that guy.
And that's why it's like, so Chris Jones is going to be a free agent.
You think you're going to get Chris Jones $30 million a year?
I mean, we got more cap space.
That's true.
But, you know, let's trade for Fields. Okay. Then we'll extend him next year.
You don't think that it's not going to cost you your first round pick to trade for Fields? What do you think a trade package for Fields looks like?
So from what I've heard, like from what's his face? Old Cuzzy with the weird hair.
Yeah.
Mel Kiper.
Yep.
He said it's a second and a fourth.
Oh, that's a good deal.
And it's like, I'll give him a fifth.
And he's still on his rookie year, right?
And Desmond Ritter.
All right. He'll deliver the paperwork he'll stay.
I'll send him. Yeah. But, you know, like, so if we could do that, and then I know we're going to have to pay Fields, but.
But he's still got a couple years left.
We'll pay him later.
But if you're thinking about what you're going to have to pay him.
A lot.
Well, what are you thinking? So he's what year is he in now? It's going to be his third or fourth year?
Yeah, so I think he has this year and then the team option and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still getting him at a discount for a couple years.
Yeah.
Probably.
And now he's going to hold out for more money, whatever.
Well, whatever, man.
We'll
deal with that later. If he turns out to be the guy, then you pay him whatever he wants.
What I am worried about, though, is... becoming the Cleveland Browns.
I worry about that every day. In the shower, I'm like, what if I become the Cleveland Browns?
You know,
whenever
there's a team looking for the franchise quarterback,
you want that Deshaun Watson contract now?
No, God, no. I never wanted him.
He's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
But I think about that jersey.
Yeah.
You know, with all the quarterbacks that started with, what's his name?
Couch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim Couch, yeah.
And it started Tim Couch, and then it went like, and then there's name crossed out, and then all the way down to like the kneecap.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I worry about whenever.
But they got Deshaun Watson now. They're fine.
Yeah.
It's the Browns, man. I mean, they need LeBron James to step in and play quarterback. And then.
Honestly,
maybe.
Let's put him at tight end.
I've been saying that for
years. But, you know,
whenever
you see that,
yeah,
whenever
you don't
want to
be that.
I don't, and like I've been lucky to not to have a franchise quarterback for so long.
You've had Michael Vick, then you had
we had a year of uncertainty.
You had Chris Chandler before that.
Yeah,
solid took you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chris Chandelier.
Yeah, underrated.
He was solid.
He's like a Brad Johnson type. He's like a Kirk Cousins type. That's who that is.
Yeah.
That's who that is. So
different era, but yeah.
So if I give you two options right now, I say to you. Here's what you need to do. Option A.
Well, let's. I'm not doing anything. All I'm right, just gonna.
But I'm saying, yeah. Let's just put you in the seat of whoever.
Terry Fontenot.
Terry Fontenot. Okay, you get to make the decision. All right, whether that's Fontenot or McKay or whoever it is. All right, now here's your options.
The Rogues Gallery.
Your option A is you go out and spend what you have to get Kirk Cousins in here for a year. For 2 years, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then you draft a quarterback somewhere in the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe Bo Nix, maybe someone else down the line, somewhere, and to develop. Someone that you think has actual potential, that can sit for a couple years.
Yeah.
You're like a Jordan Love kind of character.
Yeah.
And then you go, you roll Kirk Cousins probably for 2 years. Or, option B, you trade, you get Justin Fields in here, day one starter, and that's your guy. That's the guy you go with.
I mean, I would take Justin Fields just because I think he's...
That's who you should have taken before?
Yes.
Instead of and like, Kyle
that was,
Pitts?
That was a tough spot because it's
that
like...
That was not a tough spot. You do not draft a tight end four overall.
I agree with that, but I don't think that the new regime is going to draft a quarterback to replace the franchise quarterback in their first draft.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was a tough spot to be in.
That's what you do. Like, if you're going to be an NFL team...
I would have taken, any of the numerous pass rushers...
Jalen Carter, maybe,
or that year I would have taken Mekhi Parsons.
How's he doing?
Real good.
Yeah, I feel like he is.
He probably had more sacks than our whole team.
Until we're gonna have to pay him pretty quick.
But yeah,
all right. So you want the Justin Fields option?
But I would be fine with Kirk Cousins. Anything in this world other than,
Desmond
Ritter. And like,
I think you're gonna get your wish.
And what does worry me, though, is like if we trade up in the draft and take one of, you know, like the three guys who we all think are kind of worth taking, like, all right, then you have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And those are never.
I think Justin Fields is a better option than that.
Yeah. But like, you know, but that's the other option.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's true.
Then it's like, all right, cool.
What are you going
to
do?
We have this whole team,
but we
still have an unknown rookie quarterback.
Right. Right. And he's still, I mean. Unless you get C.J. Stroud.
But that's not the norm.
That
you
doesn't
know?
Happen, right? Even Peyton Manning, his rookie year was 3-13.
Yeah, he still holds a record for like, rookie
most interceptions. So, all right. So, I will say this, man. If Justin Fields ends up in Atlanta with the talent you guys have around him.
Be perfect.
This team would be fun to watch.
Yes. It'd be fun to watch a great Madden team.
Yes. Yes. I think you would clearly win your division. I think there's 11 games you win.
And also, I think if we bring in Justin Fields, that's butts and seats.
Yeah.
He's from here. He's, the prodigal son returning home.
That's right.
Butts and seats.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot.
So... I mean, we've talked a lot about the Falcons. What do you got for your boys?
Well,
in our first inaugural Birds and Boys.
Yeah, Birds and Boys, a new segment in Big Sad Fun. We probably just call this podcast Birds and Boys. I mean, that's what it is.
Looking back on it, that would have been good.
So the big issue for the Cowboys is also quarterback. Shocker, right? We were up, I think we were over the cap by like $20 million, but now that they've boosted the cap $30 million, we're down. We're over by like $9 million, which is really easy. You just cut Michael Gallup, and that's good. We're good to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried.
Y'all are still over with the extended cap.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, because let me tell you why. Because Dak Prescott is owed $59 million against the cap next year. Now, there are a couple options here. Number one, you roll with that $59 million and you say after next year he can be released.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two dead years on the contract, but you can just release him and we're free of him, right? We don't have to worry about Dak Prescott anymore.
I mean, he played well this year, though.
He did. No, and I'm gonna give him credit for that. He's not worth $59 million.
Very few people are.
And I want to see him. I want to see him actually win a Super Bowl. That is my standard for him, right?
Yeah.
Now, the other option, one of the options is we can restructure his contract,
which is probably what y'all are gonna do.
So that we cut it down in those two dead years, we can convert almost all of his salary to signing bonus, so that he's actually only counts like $1 million against the cap or something like that this year, but then we owe him
$90
million over the next 2 years or whatever. Or we can extend him, which is probably what's going to happen.
I think you're going to have to do something. One of those two things is, I mean, Jerry Jones, I would guess, is going to extend him.
I feel like
after he had a good year.
Yeah, he had a great year. Yeah. He had a great year. And I would not blame him for what happened to us. I would like to see him do that again. Again, he's 30 years old at this point, so we're getting toward the back end of this, yeah, of this young man's career. And I'm fine with rolling with him, because where else are you going to go? Like, what else are we going to do?
Trey Lance.
Right? Well, that is the wild card scenario. Because like, Trey Lance is actually as
he's
good.
He's a serviceable backup.
Yeah. Well, he might be more than that. But that's almost conspiracy theory territory, where we're talking about Trey Lance being the savior of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. What I want to see happen, I want to see Dallas Cowboys win a Super Bowl. That's what I want to see happen, right?
Yeah, obviously.
I think Dak can do it. I think Dak can take us there. I think someone needs to sit down with Dak and say, look, dude, you make an extra $100 million a year just by being the Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah.
Why don't you do what Tom Brady did? Why don't you do what needs to be done? Take less money from the contract itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not disrespectable amount, but take less money, so that we can start building things around you. Do you want to win a Super Bowl? Think about how much you're going to be worth for the rest of your life if you win a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Right? Dak Prescott will never pay for anything ever again.
Oh, if he wins a Super Bowl.
If he wins a Super Bowl for Dallas, now what can we, like, someone needs to sit down with this 30-year-old guy and say, hey, look, what do you want your legacy to be? Do you want to be known as the guy like Tony Romo who couldn't do it? Or do you want to be Troy Aikman? Do you want to be Roger Staubach, or do you want to be Danny White? And you're always going to be great. People are going to love you because you were the Cowboys quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if you win a Super Bowl. Imagine if you win two.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You will own car dealerships.
Oh, he's going to own car dealerships regardless.
I don't understand why someone needs to sit down and talk to this guy and say, like, what that means is we need to pay you $30 million a year. Which I know is so poor. Like, you'll be so sad with that much money, even though you're making an additional $100 million on Mattress Firm commercials. And let us go out and get a left tackle. Let us go out and get a running back and a wide receiver and a safety and the pieces that we need to make sure that you become the greatest quarterback in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, which means the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I mean,
that's my
pitch. I think
that'd
be great.
That's my pitch.
I think that'd be great. I don't know if the union would let him do it, because unions,
they don't have to say. He can do whatever he wants.
That makes sense to me.
You remember that year, Deion Sanders? Deion Sanders. All right, you have a relationship with Deion Sanders here in Atlanta. All right,
I don't know him.
You drafted him. He played 5 years here. He was the best.
You said I have a relationship.
Well,
I mean
you as in you, Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
So, but you guys, he was the best player, one of the best players in the NFL, the best player at his position, and one of the best defensive players of all time. Right, him and Lawrence Taylor, those are the top two for me. All right, you guys decide you can't pay him. You don't want to pay him. He took a $1 million contract to play for the San Francisco 49ers for 1 year. 1 year. He took a 1 year deal to play with the 49ers for $1 million, which was way under anything.
Yeah.
Just so he could win a Super Bowl, and he did.
Yeah.
And then he signed with the Dallas Cowboys after that for multi-years.
I always forget about the 49er
dollars.
Year.
Yeah.
I always
so he won back-to-back
went.
Super Bowls. But he did that. He made that move. That's what I want Dak to do. I want
That'd
Dak to be like, hey, look. I want to win.
Yeah.
I want him to care about winning. And when he gets up behind that podium, every time he loses, it's like, look, you know, I just wanted to win today. I'm going to be like, no, you didn't, because we had to pay you $60 million. So
$60 million is a lot of money to pay
anybody for anything.
Anybody, but like take this year out of it.
Yeah.
A top 15 quarterback.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's in the top half, but he's not in the top 10.
He's not elite. And he's not a superstar. Yeah. And he's not my...
Which is kind of the worst place to be.
Yeah.
Like, with a quarterback in that spot, because it's like, I don't want to get rid of him.
You know what he is? He's the epitome of... He's a microcosm of the Atlanta Hawks. Right? He's like, good, but not good enough.
Yeah. Yes. But... And I before you transition...
I was setting up perfect.
I know. But it's like, that's the worst place to be, because you can't get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
But the unknown is, like, so scary that you have to keep him.
Yeah.
And
that's running a franchise out of fear. Like, if you really want this, look.
I'm sorry I ruined your transition.
No, because I think the way you run a franchise is you go all in, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually want to win or not? You know? So here's my transition. Like the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks got some bad news. This is our sad for the day.
Yeah.
Trey Young, kid out of Oklahoma, superstar, but not apparently an all-star.
He made it in the game.
He made like a little substitution situation, but out for 4 weeks with an injury.
Basically the rest of the season.
Wait. With an injured pinky finger on his left non-shooting hand?
I mean, I get it because they have to do surgery.
Yeah.
And like you
can't play with a cast on your hand.
You can't really dribble. Like
that's true. That's fair.
But yeah, man, like this is, and it sucks because like
I didn't even think about it being the rest of the season. You're right.
It's basically the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just kind of decided to stay pat at the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's devastating.
And, you know, and now it's like, well, there it goes. Well, although, I mean, we still, you know, maybe DeJounte is that guy when he's the one.
Okay.
When he can be the only one.
There's a silver lining here, right?
Yeah, well, but, okay. All right, this all just came to me.
All right, let's hear it.
I had a prophetic moment.
This is what we do.
DeJounte, as the one, plays great.
Yeah.
The rest of the season.
Yeah.
His trade value is through the roof.
Yeah.
And we can get draft picks.
Yeah.
And then or we can rebuild. Keep him. No. I like DeJounte.
No.
I like DeJounte, but it's I don't know if he could be the second guard.
I think we talked about that when he came here. I think we talked about that on this show and how excited we were.
Yeah.
To have him.
Thrilled.
Here. And now you're like, no.
Well, it wasn't. I was kind of under the impression that he could be more of an off the ball guard.
Yeah.
And he can't.
Yeah.
And it's also the impression that kind of the defense would be better. And yeah. Like, you know, he'll have some great steals here and there, but like he's not putting the clamps on anybody.
Nobody's playing defense though.
Luka dropped 75 on him. Like
who plays defense?
I mean, some other team everyone seems to against us. Well, not really. I mean, we're scoring 120 a night.
I know.
The other teams are scoring 140.
Nobody's playing defense.
But I mean, you know, you should be able to score 120 and win a game.
Well, what if you score over 200 points?
Like,
do you win that game?
Like the All-Star
game?
Yeah, man, that was...
Was this a protest game? My question is this. Is this a protest in the sense of like, this is a ridiculous thing, we don't want to do this? Well, or was this like...
And I mean, it's for the fans.
Right.
And
200 points?
And it like, did you watch any of it? It was like the last year of the Pro Bowl levels of just nothing.
And everyone's upset about it. Like, and they're like, this is a travesty.
It was now okay. Let's start with the good. The Sabrina versus Steph shootout, awesome.
Yeah. Well, I did watch some of the skill stuff.
That
yeah.
was great because it was two people actually trying.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards played the whole weekend with his left hand.
Just because he could?
Yeah. He said it's an All-Star game. My field goal percentage doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
And so he like, but stuff like that.
Practice. Yeah.
Yeah, but like you know stuff like that. It's so, you know, ideally what you want from an All-Star game is you want to see what would happen if the best players in the world played
actually
against each other.
Yeah.
And
you go back and watch some of those late 90s, early aughts games.
Yeah.
That was legit.
And it was they'd score
Iverson
a lot.
And Kobe in the fourth quarter.
I think Kobe said it best. He said it's supposed to be the best pickup game in the world.
There you go. That's a good way to talk about it. Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of points in pickup games, but there's usually like towards crunch time.
There should be some competition.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, what we saw was terrible.
Yeah. It's not even fun.
Matt McClung won the dunk contest. He's a D league player and he's playing well in the D.
Yeah.
Or the G.
Yeah, the G, whatever.
GD,
it is. Yeah.
A development. It's not
the GD league.
It's the G league, but it's for development. So I want to call it the D league.
I got you.
Now here's a spicy take for
you. Let's hear it.
Incendiary
insight.
There it is. Did LeBron James ruin the dunk contest?
How so? How would he do that?
So he was the first superstar to say, "Be like, no, I'm not doing it."
Yeah.
And because up until then, you know,
all the
Jordan
big ones.
Jordan
Vince
did it.
Carter was there.
Vince
Kobe.
Carter did it. Yeah. Kobe did it.
Yeah.
Dr. J did it.
Yeah.
And
now it's like no name people who no one cares about.
And it's like, did that ruin it?
You know what? Maybe it was time for it to go.
I would say it's not.
I
think it's a more of a changing and now there are still like what that dunk that he did where did you watch the dunk contest at all?
No, I didn't.
He like did like a double catch behind the head dunk.
Okay.
And it was like, all right, that was cool.
That was cool.
That was great. But like, I want to see Anthony Edwards doing something wild.
But how many ways can you dunk a ball?
You'd be surprised.
I mean, I feel like I've never been that captivated by the dunk contest.
Oh, I used to love it as a kid.
I don't get it.
But so when I was in kindergarten, was the Vince Carter year?
Yeah, the one where he's hanging in the rim.
He's hanging in the rim and he's doing all sorts of wild stuff.
That was good.
I mean, there's some cool dunks that you can do. Like, there are people who just do dunk contests. Like, they're on there's a dunk contest circuit.
Here's what I want to see.
And, like, there's some of those stuff is cool.
So I was actually watching just a couple days ago, like, a top 10 video on the dunk contest, like, the best dunks in the history of the dunk contest. And one of them was the Vince Carter one, where he just puts his arm all the way through. Here's what I want to see, though. Here's what I think would be really cool. You put your arm all the way through with the ball, then you pick it up with your other hand, jump back out.
And then dunk
it again.
That'd be awesome.
If someone could do that, I would watch.
I saw one of those professional dunkers. I can't even explain it. Arms
it's radio,
behind,
it,
behind
not
his
TV.
Like behind his head, dunking it over his head. It was wild.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, I think it definitely needs to change.
Yeah.
But I think that was kind of, hopefully that was the bottom, like that was it bottoming out. The last year at the Pro Bowl, I went back and watched the highlights of that.
Yeah.
And it's like this.
It's just not.
This, but like that was the
there's no
ultimate,
point
like,
this.
Okay, this needs to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully that's
and
what
I like
happens.
The individual contest thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go in all of these sports.
And like, but like, I think you can do an NBA All-Star game, but you have to somehow make it be like.
Why don't do like a 3-on-3?
Or like, yeah, I'd be down for that. Some one-on-ones.
Make it a 3-on-3 or a one-on-one tournament.
That'd be awesome.
That would be great.
Also, I've always wanted to see an NBA gacha game.
Yeah.
Like shooting from the logo.
Or they could just go out there and play horse.
Yeah. But like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, I think there's a way to do it.
I like the one-on-one thing. A one-on-one tournament.
Yeah, a one-on-one tournament would be
great.
Let's go. But also, like, I think if you want it, I mean, if you make it, winner gets more money.
Yeah, get $100,000.
Yeah.
Just throw them some cash.
And like, then maybe they'll play in the All-Star game. But
yeah,
that can't happen again. It was 211 to, like, 185.
That was ridiculous. And that's what I heard someone talking about that. Like, you know what made the in-season tournament valuable is everyone got $500,000 if you won. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Put some money on the line.
And, I mean, that motivates everyone.
Let me tell you something about change. It used to be in football that people would just run the ball and they wouldn't throw the ball. Oh. And that game had to change, right?
I was generally wondering what your transition would be.
So the game did change, and you're reading a book on this. So here's our fun segment for today. Talk to me about this book.
So I'm reading The Perfect Pass by an author whose name I can't remember.
that's the kind of journalism we have here on Big Sad Fun. Go look it up. It's called The Perfect Pass.
It's called the Perfect Pass. Perfect Pass. It's about the birth of the air raid.
Yeah, the air raid offense by Mike Leach.
Well, so Hal Mumme was the head coach, and Mike Leach was the offensive coordinator.
Okay.
So
who's responsible for it?
A little bit of both.
Talk to me about the air raid offense. What does that mean?
So the idea of the air raid is, what if we throw the ball as much as everyone else runs the ball?
Yeah.
Like, what if we throw it?
Get rid of the run game, basically.
Well, it's kind of flipped, where we're going to throw the ball for 5 to 6 yards.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to run it for 70.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to spread everyone out far out, and then I'm going to get you up the middle.
So instead of handing the ball off, you're throwing it 3 yards at the field.
Basically.
Yeah.
And now there are deep shots in it as well, but it's also we're going to be in the 2-minute offense the whole game.
Yeah.
And when he was doing this in the late 80s, early 90s, the other thing about the book is it kind of goes into the creation of the forward pass in football.
Yeah.
Which it was a way to make the game safer because like 18 people died one year.
Just by running the ball.
Well, it used to be 5 yards for a first down and you could drag people.
Oh, okay.
And like, it wasn't where you were down, it was where your movement was stopped.
That's amazing.
It was a brutal, brutal sport. So the pass came in.
You guys throw the ball.
And but Walter Camp, who was like one of the early, he said that it was the wussification of football.
Oh wow!
Anybody who throws the ball was seen as less in his eyes.
Yeah.
And it like, and he goes through like the whole history of teams who've like tried throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And but the one thing I thought was wild was like there was one team. It was the School of Native Americans, They kind of started the single wing, and they throw it like I think 40%, which is nothing.
Which was a lot.
Which is a lot then.
Yeah.
But he told the story of it, how it happened, and how they beat the crap out of some team, and there was like, but a young Jim Thorpe was the
Jim Thorpe. And Oklahoma, it was like, God,
that's awesome.
Go.
Yeah. Yes. But you know, just like fun little tidbits like that.
That's great.
But basically, he got a job at he kind of bounced around every school in the world.
Yeah.
And then he got a job at Iowa Wesleyan, which is known as the worst job in football.
Oh, nice.
It was like a D3 school that no one wanted anything to do with. Yeah. And then he was like, well, I got to do something to win.
Start throwing the ball.
So he like recruited an entire team because everyone quit when the other head coach left. He said he had a punter. He said he walked into the meeting and there were two guys and then three guys that he brought from his old school.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, all right, well, you know, we got to start lifting weights a lot over the summer. And one of the guys from the other team walked out. So he was like, all right, so I've got to recruit an entire team this offseason. Got it. He went to like Valdosta State and like made some deep Division II playoff runs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Leach had some success with it.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I don't know if anyone's done, I don't know everyone who runs it, but I don't know if anyone's won a national championship with
run
it yet.
The air raid.
Yeah. But it's like you can score a lot of points and win a lot of games. But the,
if you
there's
compare it with the defense, probably really
which
good.
Is that was that's always kind of that's been his problem. Problem yeah. Is yeah. Because his thing is like time of possession doesn't matter. If I score in one play, who cares?
Right. Except for that's not your defense is tired.
And but he doesn't care. He said in the book, defensive coordinators are offensive coordinators, but 50 IQ points less.
Well, that sounds like a great book.
There's one line that you would love.
Let's hear it.
For David to beat Goliath, he had to throw.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really
it's
good.
It's true. Like, you know, he can't go through something. You got to go around him, and that's passing.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. But I highly recommend it to anybody who's looking for something to read.
It's called A Perfect Pass or The Perfect Pass by somebody who knows about
It was it's a guy who normally writes, like, history books.
Okay.
And how mommy said, like,
we'll have to come back to this because I want to hear more about it.
Please.
All right, Edward, thank you so much for being here. And guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Peace.